Well, good morning, and we are not cowed by the fact that we had a marvelous presenter just ahead of us, but we are considering ourselves, and by the way, addition to her presentation, so bear with us. I would just like to say that this particular group of people were all very eager to talk about Braille literacy and what they are doing at their own sites. And we will begin with the panel consisting of early Braille literacy programs at each site, information and services that are available to assist you through those demonstrations that they're going to make, awareness kits, strategies, assistive technology, and Braille display resources and programs. So to begin, Shelley Roussine from the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped of Kent District Library in Wyoming, Michigan, will speak, followed by, we're not in the order we thought we were going to be in, but we will jump to Brianna Albright, Reader Advisors, Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. Then Jill Rothstein, Chief Librarian from the Andrew Haskell Braille and Talking Book Library. And lastly, Kim Charlson, Director of the Perkins Braille and Talking Book Library. We will open the floor for questions after each has talked to you about what they are doing. And since Carrie did not have time for questions, if we can, we may even be able to give her opportunity to take questions at that time, too. Okay, so Shelley.
All right. So my focus with early literacy and Braille was to actually focus on sighted children and spread awareness about what Braille is and let kids know that there are other ways of reading out there. So I created a story time tub to be used in and out of our branches, mostly used in our branches. It's a big tub. It has a lot of things. I talked about this at our MLA conference a year ago and brought it with me and let people play with it. I did not bring it with me today. But it had it has print Braille books. It has mostly print stories about children that are blind or have visual impairments so that sighted kids could read these stories and learn about what is it like to not have vision and what that is like to learn Braille and just give them a sense of a different way of learning. The kit also includes activities, crafts. There's a resource list for anyone that wants to use it. I have it open to our entire 18-branch organization, so any of our youth librarians can use it. It's great for a special story time. I've ran it. I've had my youth librarians run it at their story times. We have found that it does work best for school-age children because some of the stuff in it are, the stories are a little bit longer. The crafts are a little bit harder than, you know, like a toddler time kind of level. There's some great manipulatives in there, slate and stylus, so people could actually practice writing Braille dots, Papa cells, a bunch of different things that are in there. Here's a close-up of all my goodies. I even included a white cane. One of the activities that I suggest in there is we do a white cane maze. And so kids can put on a blindfold and they can try and navigate with a white cane and try and understand what that is like for someone who is blind or has low vision. I do also do a lot of outreach. I do a lot of school visits and I visit a lot of public schools, mostly in Kent County around Grand Rapids area where I live, also into Montcalm and Ionia counties, which are a little bit more rural. So I created this Braille and Blindness Awareness Program, and I go into the schools. We talk about what is Braille. I show them several different types of Braille books. We talk about the history of Braille, who was Lewis Braille, how was Braille invented, and then I show them a bunch of tools, slate and stylus, a Braille writer. I bring a refreshable Braille display, and we talk about a lot of different things like that. I have done this program from preschool ages all the way up through high school. Second and third graders are the best kids to talk to. Second graders will ask you questions all day long. I mean, if I could give them an entire day, they will ask me questions all day long. And sometimes they go a little crazy. Can people who are blind drive a car? Well, no, probably not a great idea. Well, can they drive a motorcycle? Okay. So, second and third graders, very inquisitive. The top picture, that's actually my son. He begged and begged and begged me to come and talk to his classroom. He was in third grade this past year, and he's holding up a sheet that I give all the kids that shows the Braille alphabet and one of the NLS Braille rulers. And I challenge them, depending on the age group I'm talking to, I give them an activity sheet, learn how to write your name in Braille. Older kids, I give them a little pop quiz and give them some prizes if they win. But I always make sure that they have that Braille alphabet, and I tell kids, it's like a secret code. Learn how to write. Go practice making your dots. And then you can write a secret message to your friend, and they can decode it. And they just think that is the greatest thing ever. I did go to a school 2 years ago that had a student that was blind in the classroom. And so he knew a lot of stuff, and I referred to Joey quite a bit to help me do my presentation. But even having a student who was blind in their classroom, most of the kids in the class had no idea what Braille was. Mm-hmm. And once I showed them some of the basic letter writing, they were so excited. They're like, I can write a message to my friend Joey, and now he can read it. It's his birthday in a week, so we can all write happy birthday to him in Braille, and he'll be able to read it. And they were so excited, and Joey was so excited that he was going to get birthday cards in Braille from all of his classmates. So it's been a lot of fun. There's a horrible picture of me on this slide. I'm showing the Visual Brailler app on my iPad so that kids could download that app and play around with it just to, you know, get some more skill practice with Braille writing. And then this is just a close-up. I got a thank you letter. All the kids wrote their name in Braille dots and said thank you for coming to our class. So now I will turn it over. Are we going to go to...
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let me skip through.
Oh, well, we don't have to.
We can
go to me if you want.
No, it's fine. Prezi's are easy.
Thank you. So at the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, we got the opportunity to create 4 Braille kits.
I have other quotes.
Yes, thank you. So when we first started out, we were unsure what to include. We'd done a lot of research independently online with a lot of the great resources that are out there, many of which Carrie mentioned this morning. But our second step, we at the Library for the Blind in Pittsburgh have an adult advisory group of library patrons. They come to our library and we have monthly meetings. So to approach this, I thought, why not ask them? They were all children who learned Braille, or perhaps adults who learned Braille when they lost vision later in life. They would be the perfect people to ask. So I sent them all an email just saying, here's our task. We're going to create a kit of materials for parents, for caregivers, for educators to utilize with their children who are blind or who have low vision. And some of the responses I got were overwhelmingly positive, and they really lent a lot of useful advice. I'm going to read a couple of the quotes. So Chris H. from Pittsburgh. A little difficult to read from this angle. Yeah, I should have. As a very small child, I wanted to be able to color in a coloring book and use watercolors like the other kids. I asked my mother for pictures that I could draw. So she used thread And her sewing machine traced things in the sheet of paper, and she was able then to follow her lines and color that way. So this very anecdotal, sweet memory from her childhood just kind of brought forward to me the idea that all of these experiences that sighted children have, blind children should also be able to have. And what can we make available so that those experiences can be had? A second response I got that I included was pretty negative, actually. So the scope of the kits was for children ages birth to five. And this individual said, well, but the parents, the sighted parents, how are they going to teach their children? Ages 0 to 5, much too young. It needs to be a qualified teacher who's teaching their child Braille. And perhaps that's true in some regard, but here's the question that it brought up, and that is, where are parents going to get these skills? That is a huge barrier and something perhaps that they're not familiar with and need to be made familiar with. So we also then tried to include resources for the parents, things that they can use to learn Braille, things that they can use to label their child's environment so they start getting the hang of that. Thank you. Another response. Can you see that better, Shelley? Would you mind reading it? That would be really great. This angle's terrible.
You're twisting it.
Here, I will read.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we on the second?
The first.
Thank you. The first one. Braille, is this on?
Yes.
Okay. Braille should be an integral part of all subjects for blind students, just as reading and writing print is for the sighted counterparts. In that way, Braille becomes a natural way of life and easily translates for use in all daily activities. And that's from Terry M., from the LBPH, an LBPH patron from Pittsburgh, PA.
Thank you. So this brought up a great point, and that is that literacy really... it's not just one thing. Literacy, is the thread that's woven throughout all of our experiences. And so those experiences should include things like math, like science. And so we tried to create the kit to include objects that would allow for that flexibility. And this second quote, you don't have to read it. Thank you for reading the first one, but I'll just summarize because I know this one, and it's that children who have some vision shouldn't learn Braille. If they have some vision, let's use that vision. And that is, again, the bias toward materials, large print and audio in particular. But if that child has low vision, there's a chance that perhaps their vision could diminish over time also. So it is great for them to be introduced to Braille at the very beginning, from birth. If they don't need to use Braille later in life, that's fine. They've got a skill, an extra skill, that they can use in their arsenal. So if you would advance, I just want to talk a little bit more about how then we used those thoughts from our advisory group to actually create the kit and... I'm going to jump ahead to promotion.
Did you want this?
Yeah. Okay, we can go back, please. Yeah. To promote the kit, the Carnegie Library has 19 branches. So my first thought was to promote that internally to all of the children's specialists. Each branch has its own. And we also promoted through a staff newsletter that reaches 400 library employees. And through that, we actually got a lot of use out of it. So someone contacted me and said, I go to a daycare. There's a blind child. I didn't know this was available. Can I borrow it and see what I might be able to use the next time I go to do story time? Externally, the Carnegie Library has a blog. I wrote a blog post. It didn't really get anyone using it. So that's another challenging thing is sometimes these ways we choose to promote are a bit passive. And for that reason, nobody's combing the Carnegie Library blog looking for resources for their blind child. We need to take that thing to the audience, to the group itself. So I think that's something moving forward that we would like to do with this kit. Promote it more intentionally. If you go to the next one. So next steps. Some of the feedback I did get from the kit from early learning specialists at the Carnegie Library and from a teacher of the visually impaired at the Western Pennsylvania School for Blind Children was to develop a more intentional focus. So this kit, which I have brought with me, I have a few items laid out on the table here that I'll describe in a moment. But just that it was this huge kit with a lot of stuff that we bought and just threw together, and we weren't quite sure how to tell people how to use it. So that's the tricky part, is perhaps refining the focus of the kit instead of just trying to give them every single tool they might possibly need, to scale that back. And that makes it a lot more approachable. I think this ginormous kit that we created is pretty daunting. It's a big tote full of at least maybe 25 or 30 things. So we also want to work with local partners to promote the kit. And I mention specifically parent training and information centers, because every state has one. In fact, some states have two. I know Pennsylvania has one in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. So this is a place parents can go to just for information. So this organization, these organizations, you know, this is where that audience is going, so we should take it to them. And then also to solicit feedback from parents and caregivers. So far, it's only been educators. And so I would really like to perhaps get together a group of parents of children with not only visual disabilities, but multiple disabilities, to really explore how could these be used? What do the children actually want? So a couple of the items I said I'd describe. So the Braille labeler. So it's a handheld, and you may have seen this. It labels onto clear plastic overlays that you can stick onto anything. The wheel turns to select the character, and then you squeeze to Braille it. So this parents could use in their home to Braille things in the kitchen, things in the child's bedroom. We included these play figurines. So there is a girl in a wheelchair, a woman with a white cane, a man wearing leg braces. There are a few more characters. And, you know, maybe the connection to literacy wasn't as direct with these items, but as we know, play is so important, and it's important for our children to see themselves in the characters and things that they have. I also have the Uncle Goose Braille alphabet blocks, which is perfect because Carrie mentioned them. So if anyone would like to see them, I encourage you to. But each side has print letters that are engraved, so you can feel the shape of the print letter, as well as visual Braille that's large, and then tactile Braille that's much smaller. And these are great. And then the Twin Vision book, That's Not My Bear. So it really worked out perfectly, everything that you mentioned. So which has tactile illustrations in the form of a fuzzy little bear that you can move around and feel throughout the story. So that's just a little bit of what's in it. And has any questions after?
Okay, hi. This is Jill from Andrew High School. And I'm going to take a step back from early literacy kits so I can show you the grand dramatic journey towards them that we took. You might all know by now, my library is part of the New York Public Library system. So we're very embedded in the public library in our community, and that will come back into play later. So the first thing I'll say is that we, I think just a couple years ago, started an adult, really all ages, but mostly adult Braille study group. And I believe Chansey piloted that. If I'm wrong, just ignore that. And it was offered, we put it up in our newsletter and on our website. It was offered twice a month just for people to gather and work on their Braille together. It was not a formal class. We said we were here to help you. We can provide Braille blocks. We have some textbooks. We have volunteers who can help you with your practice, and we can help direct you to online sources for more formal study or the partner organizations. So that grew over the last 2 years from being twice a month to being every week, and now it's held twice every week. And I think I'd say we have around 10 participants each time. Yep, okay, I got the approval for that. It's been really great to see that grow. and see the community grow there. We have students, we have volunteers who come in to help and share their time. We have some great stories coming out of it. One of my favorites, the Valentine's Day party, where Chansey got some great tactile Valentine's cards and people brailled their Valentine's messages to their loved ones. We have people starting and going very slow. We have people rushing through it, zooming through it in a great way. I believe we have had a physics professor who pretty quickly lost his sight much later in life. I think he was in his 70s or something. So. Not that that's late in life, sorry. I mean, you know, in the great prime of life. And as Chansey put it, because no one told him that he couldn't do it, he learned Braille in 2 weeks and has been writing his articles now in Braille. So that's the Braille study group that grew. The next thing that happened was that I, coming from the general public background, I wanted to make Braille available to people in the community who were not eligible for NLS services, because our entire collection was available only to people who were certified. Or you could walk in and browse the Braille, but it wasn't a very easy thing for many people to do. So we actually talked to the Public Library Collections Committee and created a circulating, because in Public Library circulating collection of Braille, Illinois's uncontracted textbook, some children's books, some seedlings, some print Braille and image books, and we advertised them to anyone on staff to know about, in case they were doing a program for kids where they wanted to show this, in case it was a parent or caregiver or service provider who wanted to learn a little bit about Braille but were not eligible for NLS materials. And then what happened is that, as kind of tends to happen in the public library world, we were told, hey, we were just given, you know, X thousands of dollars to give to branches for early literacy, because New York Public Library really wants to be part of Every Child Ready to Read and Universal Preschool, and we're teaching these early literacy skills. So hey, if you can spend it in a few months, here's $1,000 for early literacy. And we said, that's great, but we're gonna do our kind of early literacy. And that's what led to us putting together early Braille and tactile literacy kits for the public. So you do not have to be an NLS member to use them. We created 6 different kits, 5 levels, in collaboration with early literacy skills and practices that NYPL was producing, but made them particularly for kids who are blind or visually impaired or otherwise need tactile learning. And I can go to a slide now, finally. They are 5 different levels. I have 3 of them here today, and if Terry and Mark would be so kind, you guys can each like pass one down the table, one for each if you want to just send them around. They're already going. Thank you guys for being on. They're in these little zip pouches so that they could be easily transported by our book ops delivery system. So a patron who lives in a different borough can request this at their local public library and we'll send it there. They can check it out, take it home for 3 weeks, renew it if they want to, and then send it back. The first level of the kit is the caregiver's kit. So we have publications like Because Books Matter, Because Pictures Matter, Just Enough to Know Better. We have some printouts from the wonderful Perkins Early Literacy Site and I think AFB sites about why Braille is important for independence, about the different early literacy practices you can do in your home and how to adjust them. And we have that caregiver kit available in a print version and a Braille version for caregivers who use Braille. The second kit is, I don't know, call something like, you know, tactile fun, Wii, or something like that. And it's about raised lines, following raised line mazes, using flip books to track patterns or create parts of a whole, and other kind of basic textural stuff. They both, though, do have some brailled board books with very beginning finger plays, or like the That's Not My Dinosaur, That's Not My Bunny series, so a lot of textural information, encouraging parents to just read and sing and do things with their kids. Then you get to beginning Braille. We have a Braille labeler. We have a Braille caravan where you can practice with the pegs, Papa Cells, Braille alphabet, things like that. We have some full-on Braille print and picture books. And then we have the games. So we have tactile dice. We have Braille Uno, Braille playing cards, this cool DK Braille book about, you know, That Can't Be True, something like that.
Which is an awesome book.
Yeah.
It's like a Ripley's great. Believe It or Not kind of thing.
Yeah, for kids. Like, yeah. and that also has tactile images. And we proceeded to attempt to embark on a big awareness campaign. I should say that we did try to get a lot of input before creating these, so we threw a huge party for TVIs, Teachers Visually Impaired, and we thought that we could bribe them with pizza to come. And we went to their office, and we did all those things, and we got two wonderful teachers to come and give us a lot of information what would be useful to them. And we're so appreciative. It's hard, you know, I don't know if it's true for you guys, too. Sometimes it's really hard to get parent. We tried to have a parent advisory group. It was really hard to get attendance. We did go to Education Vision Services and talk to more teachers there. We presented at teacher conferences, at parent support groups. So eventually we did get some more feedback. And we went back and we advertised and said, hey, guys, we made this for you. It's free. Please use it. You can use it with yourselves. You can use it for your students. You can use it for people in your schools, for people you give services to. And then we attempted to create awareness among public library staff, which is hard because it can be like pulling teeth for people to read an email or, you know, seven. So we went in person to all the managers' meetings. We went to all the children's staff meetings. Our brilliant children's librarian is aware of apparently a YouTube trend, which you might not know of or know of, called unboxing videos. Apparently people make, like, get millions of subscribers who want to watch them, like, open the newest iPhone and take it out of the packaging. So he's making an unboxing video for the early literacy kits and hoping that that might get people's attention. So we've had some really wonderful feedback, and the children's librarians are actually really interested and have been taking these out and doing programming around them, and so that makes us happy. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I guess I'm next. Everybody can hear me? Great, thank you. So with the Perkins Braille and Talking Book Library, on our next round, I'm going to be able to tell you what we do specific to Braille, some similarities to several of the other panelists. But for this round, what I really want to talk to you about is the Orbit Reader and kind of a little bit of background about the Orbit Reader. You heard a little bit about the pilot that we're going to be doing, that's what I'm going to talk about. So where did the Orbit Reader come from? And the whole idea behind the Orbit Reader comes from a group called the Transforming Braille Group that was created about 5 years ago. And this was an international group of agencies for the blind. In the U.S., it would be the American Printing House for the Blind as the lead, the National Federation of the Blind, Perkins, and Canada, CNIB, England, Royal National Institute for Blind People, Vision Australia, probably a few others I'm not remembering around the edges, but that's primarily the group that is associated with the Transforming Braille Group. And their purpose was to find out what kind of devices, research, developers, what they were doing out there all around the world with respect to refreshable Braille devices, to see if there was a way to disrupt the market, meaning to challenge the expensive cost of refreshable Braille devices today. So this research went on. The basic team in the TBG, the Transforming Braille Group, investigated, researched, examined 63 different devices with almost 63 different strategies of how to create refreshable Braille that could be affordable, because most of you probably know that a Braille reader device, a note taker, or a display, generally today will cost you anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000. So not exactly something that we can have in our programs and loan out to our patrons at that price. So the objective was to find a way to get a refreshable Braille device. And I saw everything in that process, from magnetic dots to pins that vibrated, kind of like the old Opticon, if everybody any had ever seen one of those. It kind of vibrated with electrical impulses. Didn't exactly feel real good to touch. to someone who submitted a device with two cells, aww, which is why it was affordable, of course, because it only had two cells. But can you imagine reading a book with just two cells of Braille? Or you saw two letters on your screen? Not exactly effective. So there were a lot of different devices throughout this whole process. And the one that floated to the top was a prototype from Orbit Research, which is a U.S.-based company that manufactures a couple devices you've probably heard of previously. One is the talking scientific calculator with the American Printing House for the Blind. And the currency reader that's distributed by NLS is an Orbit Reader device that they created. So the prototype of the Orbit Reader uses electromechanical Braille. And there were specifications that went out with this, that we needed at least 20 cells, and that the Braille needed, you know, to be readable, because I saw some Braille that was pretty soft and mushy, really kind of hard to read. And so the final outcome, the Transforming Braille Group, through the funding and the backing that they received from all the entities that signed into the process, selected the Orbit Reader as the device that they believed could be the new generation, next generation Braille device with the affordability that everyone has been looking for. So last year, an order went in from the consortium. The only people who could buy them at this first round were the participating members of the Transforming Braille Group. So since Perkins was part of the Transforming Braille Group, that gave me the opportunity to say, you know, that I'd like to get 200 of the devices. And the price for us in this first round of just the Orbit Reader, really, and a power plug, no packaging, no nothing right now, was $350 each instead of $5,000. So, you know, that's a much better price tag. This is what it looks like. I think there's a slide for it, so you can see it a little better. I have one. I think Neil has one that he's going to be showing today. So I would definitely encourage all of you to come by and see me during the day if you want to touch it. I would definitely, not that you read Braille, but I would advise you to touch the display and feel the Braille, because every Braille reader that I have shown this device to says, wow, this Braille is really good. So that was one of my highest priorities. So we got 200 units at Perkins, and we going to do a pilot, and NLS is participating in that pilot, helping us to formulate the pilot with pre questions and post questions and all kinds of data gathering processes, because they're very experienced at surveying and data gathering. So we're working on all of that component. What we're not doing yet is distributing any of the Orbit Readers, because they're still being manufactured. So we're about 6 to 7 months behind schedule on the pilot. We thought we'd be up and running maybe by early this year. But because of manufacturing delays, the Orbit Readers are just now starting to roll off the assembly line in India and coming to the U.S. for distribution. So hopefully this summer, in the next couple months, we'll have enough quantity in-house to actually start distributing them to patrons who have identified themselves. And we used self-identification as one way but we also are specifically looking for people in various categories, such as older readers who haven't used much technology in their lives, younger readers who haven't used much technology in their lives, new Braille readers. So we're trying to get a wide variety of users to evaluate the device. So that's where we are right now. I wish we had more to say, but I am excited about it, and our users are incredibly excited about it, because this device is a reader of Braille files, like the ones found on Bard, that are already translated into Braille. So this device does not take a Word document and load it and open it up and allow you to read it. They have to be translated into Braille files first, or they have to be straight ASCII text files that you would read in uncontracted Braille. So that's the purpose of this. This isn't meant to be the full note taker, bells and whistles, all the great things that you've got on a Braille note or a HIMSS Braille device or any of those kind of things. It's a Braille reading device, and it does have minimal note-taking capacity. And I think that's a really important feature of this device, because it will allow people to jot notes and messages to themselves and write things down and insert commentary in their materials that they're reading, because these are for them. So I think there's a lot of potential here. You know, when you think about the digital talking book machine and what it costs, and a device like this, and what I told you the price was, $350, I think the price is very similar. So with the change in legislation for NLS, with our research data that we can provide to them to use with their funding requests, will jumpstart the program and help Karen reach the goal that she has worked so hard to get to, that we will have a refreshable Braille device available to our patrons through this program.
So, Kim, what else are you doing with Braille in your library?
Letting me talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. At the Perkins Library, we were doing several things around Braille. We do have Braille production capability within the library, a Braille transcriber and proofreader, producing materials for our program. We also do fee-for-service work for the community. We're not trying to be National Braille Press or anybody like that that produces wonderful Braille in big quantities. We're trying to do Maybe a local theater needs 10 copies of their program for an audio-described play, or menus, or reports, or minutes. Things like that that are more the smaller jobs that a National Braille Press generally isn't going to do, or is going to be more expensive. So we do Braille production. We have a Braille awareness kit similar to the ones you heard about today that we loan out. We actually ship ours. It's in a suitcase. If any of you can remember kind of the old hard suitcases that your portable electric typewriter might have been in way back when, looks a lot like that. It's really hard, indestructible. It's got a frame on it to put the mailing card so that it can go free matter, because it's full of Braille, so it can go free matter. So it's got all the different devices and toys and samples of all kinds of great things and documents about Braille. It's got some testimonial from a Braille reader about how important Braille is, a bibliography of books about Louis Braille. It's got website resources about Braille. These are all handouts, so people can go and do additional work and help. We use it for kids a lot who are working on reports, things like that. So it goes out to the general, mostly to the sighted public, to promote Braille awareness. We also have a Perkins Brailler Loan Program, where we will loan out Perkins Brailers on short-term loan. Short-term to me is six months to a year, so we're pretty generous about our loan period on the Perkins Brailler. And we have a repair program where people who are registered patrons of our library in Massachusetts can get their Perkins Brailler repaired for free. It's their personal Perkins Brailler repaired for free. So those are basically our Braille programs, and we promote those. And there's been a lot of great ideas I've heard from my other panelists today, things we'd like to do as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Brianna, Jill, and Shelley, have you other Braille programs you want to talk about yet?
So we wanted to mention one thing, which I think between Carrie and Brianna and I, none of us wanted to repeat it, so none of us said it yet. So Carrie actually approached me. So Carrie and I and Mark and Brianna in the Pittsburgh Library and the State Librarian of Pennsylvania, Susan
Hannah Baker,
are working on a project to be complementary to the National Every Child Ready to Read program. Every Child Ready to Read is putting brochures out in many public libraries around the country. And as Carrie told you all about, you know, there are some ways to adapt that and be a little bit clearer about how to use that with kids who are blind or visually impaired. So we've been working to create a brochure to make available to all libraries throughout the country and through ALSC or OSCLA, try to help disseminate it about early literacy for kids who are blind or visually impaired. And so hopefully, eventually, that will be available to all of you. Yes?
Why don't you join them up here for questions?
The other thing about those, the brochures are part of kits that the Pennsylvania Library was developing to circulate. So very similar to the ones that you're using in Pittsburgh, I think, and the ones that you're using, and more similar to what you're using for literacy kits that circulate to their libraries and also to schools, and Susan Panabaker is doing those. And then, so the brochures can also go along with the kits. Thank you.
Are we ready for questions, or did... Okay. Carrie, would you care to join us?
I can't.
Okay, how about right here?
I'll stay here.
You're fine right here.
Thank you.
So we're going to open the floor now to for you to ask questions of any of these folks.
And please wait for the microphone before asking your question.
This is Pat from Philadelphia. I don't have a question, just a comment for everybody. Last year in Philadelphia, they closed down part of Center City for 30 blocks from river to river for car-free Philly. I think it's happened in Pittsburgh for 5 or 7 years or something like that. And we were asked as one of the free library locations to staff a table. And, you know, we brought a pop-up tent and we brought a rug. And what do you bring? I mean, you know, outreach materials about our program, everybody's going to walk by. We brought about 30 children's books. We put up a big sign saying, this is what we do. You know, you can get an application for this. But the big hit was bling your name in Braille. And we just had, you know, sheets that we cut. Carrie went to, like, Joann's or Michael's and got beautiful stones, the jewels that are already, you know, pre-sticky on the back. We cut them into strips. We made necklaces and... We just had people come all day. Parents came with their kids. They sat and they read to them. The kids did their names. We had four kids sitting down. And we had people work one-on-one with them. Here's a Braille card blown up. You know, pick what color stones you want. We'll sit and help you write your name, this and that. A set of grandparents came by with their two grandkids. Some other kid came and curled up on somebody's lap. People just sat down and picked up a book and read. People came back and brought their dogs. Can I do my dog's name in Braille? It was something that was really inexpensive and a real hit. And the kids loved it because instead of just like in school where you're giving them crayons and pencils to write, it was something that was raised. So that's just a really easy, cheap thing. And it brought people who normally would have passed by our table in, and it gave them a real fun activity.
One thing that I do with my Write Your Name in Braille activity in the schools is I have sets of puffy paint. And so I let the kids use puffy paint to make their dots so that they have something that's raised up. Glue is also an option, but puffy paint is way more fun.
They love jewels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, and I hope you appreciated the enthusiasm and expertise that we've had before us today concerning Braille and Braille literacy.